I was buried in a church graveyard for 37 days, but wasn't dead myself. Not buried exactly, but ensconced in a sarcophagus, the contents of which had been disposed of by my husband. This happened in the middle of the war. Now it is I who am burying my beloved Uwe in the same churchyard cemetery where he'd hidden me. I'm not sure where to begin, my dear. If there's anything I've learned from studying Russian literature, it's that you can't rush a story. The sarcophagus belonged to W.F., a coal magnate, who designed and erected his final resting place while still in his 30s. He died at 79. Fortunately for me, W.F. had been a giant of a man and built his marble tomb to match. Four men of average stature could have rested in its confines quite comfortably. Even so, how could I have imagined sleeping inside it for a single night, much less inhabiting it for over a month? It was late in the spring of 1942. My husband had the good sense not to propose his plan ahead of time. Instead, he presented it to me as a fait accompli. I'd managed to stay enrolled at the university. Nobody yet knew of my Jewish grandmother, though the Reich frowned upon advanced education for women. The goal for German women, then? To become baby factories for the fatherland. I, however, concentrated on my doctoral thesis, which analyzed the hypocrisies of social class in Ivan Goncharov's 19th-century comic masterpiece, Oblomov. But when Germany attacked the Soviet Union the previous summer, all Russian-related research, scientific, political, and literary, came to a halt. My husband saw the portents long before I did and busily prepared the sarcophagus. He'd been fretting over the intensity of the purges at the university, had heard rumors of labor camps and massacres in the forests of Poland. When I thought Uwe was in the library, studying for his medical exams, it turned out he was chiseling air holes in the tomb through which he expected me to breathe. He furnished it with what he could, a flashlight, moldering pillows, a woolen blanket, books of Russian poetry, Akhmatova, Mandelstam, Sveteva, assorted comestibles, sausages, Vulcanbrot chocolate, and a tin waste pail. When at last Uwe showed off my new quarters as if it were a cozy cottage, I cried, "Have you gone mad?" The next hours were impossible for him as he tried to bring me to my senses. My husband was a reliably rational, unflappable man. He later became a neurosurgeon of some renown. But as daylight broke and I still refused to hide in WF's sarcophagus, he threatened to kill himself. Only then did I climb into the bone-chilling tomb. Uwe promised to visit me every evening under the pretext of walking Friedel, a plump ball of fluff we'd inherited from our deceased neighbor next door. My husband brought me the day's news, urging me to remain calm while he arranged our transit out of the country, to England, he hoped, where he had professional contacts. To stray bystanders, it would appear that Uwe was talking to the dog, which dutifully held up its paw for scraps. 2 days after my burial, the authorities came looking for me. Uwe told them that I'd fled without warning. That first night in the sarcophagus was the longest of my life. My lungs burned for oxygen as I traced every centimeter of the tomb with my fingertips. Though I shivered, my skin felt scorched. I tasted the burial dirt,